doesn't preach too long. If you all could have another song at the end of the service, I believe everyone would appreciate that. So that'll give the preacher reason to end up a little bit early. That would be good. Amen? Amen. That's fine. You can say amen to that. That's all right. I'm not going to throw anything at you. Take your Bibles, please. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. As we begin this Christmas season, I'd like to turn your attention to some uncommon subjects, some uncommon people to focus on here in this beginning series of messages, Luke chapter 1. It's been a while since I've ever heard a message about a man named Zacharias. Zacharias, and he's one of those that comes at the end of every class roster, you know, if you're reading, you know, his name beginning with the letter Z, and so to speak. And so he's kind of at the end of everything. And we talk about Elizabeth, and we will. And we talk about Mary, and we will. We talk about Joseph, and we will. But Zacharias kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I hope you're going to take a little bit of notes on this because it will be a help to you. It's very practical. It's very down to earth and very simple. Even I can get a hold of it, so I think you can too. So I ask you to jot down this title, God Did It. God Did It. A very simple title. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Follow along as we read together. The Bible says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Skip down with me to verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Notice that he didn't say she was old. Guys, we need to find good terminologies. Verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God did it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you would meet with us in a very real and special way today. Undoubtedly, there are people that are asking you for things and have been praying and bringing their requests before the throne of grace. And Lord, for one reason or another, there has not been an answer. For one reason or another, you're having us to wait. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to doubt you. I pray that you would help us to place our faith in you. And Lord, your timing is always right, and you are never late. I ask you, dear God, that you would speak to us today as your people. And Lord, show yourself mighty, I pray, in our lives. And may we give you all the glory. Fill me with your spirit, I pray, and touch your words. Lord, bring them to the needs of our heart in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Zacharias was a priest. And he was doing his duties, he was performing his ministry when all of this took place. But for years undoubtedly, could you imagine their prayers? And as a priest, he's going to the Lord, And he's bringing these requests. And as you know, the prayer that was being offered was by the people. It was symbolized by the altar of incense. As the incense filled, as the aroma filled the temple, as it escaped out of the temple, as it ascended up, that was a symbol of our prayers unto God. May I tell you today that God hears every prayer. He sees our need. He does not get any joy out of our suffering. He gets joy out of bringing glory to his Son, Jesus Christ. And in this passage here, we find the couple was praying and asking God for something. Have you ever asked God for something and it seemed like that God never answered it? Do you have a request on your prayer list that still God has not answered? In this day and time, unlike today, today couples sometimes pray that they not have a child. I don't understand that. Oh, Lord, please help us not to have a child yet. We're not ready for a child. This is a couple that was praying and begging and pleading God, would you please give us a child that we can love and cherish? We will take care of him. We will point him unto thee. We will do everything we can. This was a good couple. This is a couple that served the Lord. So here's what I want you to jot down. If God has not answered prayer, okay, that's the heading. If God has not answered prayer, I'm going to give you three thoughts about that that you're to take home with you, and then one other lesson, and then three thoughts. Here we go. Number one, if God has not answered prayer, number one, don't stop living for the Lord. Don't stop living for the Lord if God has not answered your prayer. We find in this passage here, in verse number 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And what does the Word of God say that they were? Blameless. Now, this is a couple that were doing the right things. This is a couple who, according to God's inspired holy scriptures, God says, I'd probably put them on the same level as Job. They were blameless. God called them righteous. They were very careful to please the Lord in everything that God said in his word. And you would think if anybody could get prayers answered, it'd be a couple like this. Now, God does not turn a deaf ear to what we have to say. Jot down this little phrase, God has his reasons. God has his reasons. And that will help you understand, and that will help you release that tension and to have a heart that's not blaming God. They were blameless. They were blameless. They did not blame God, and they were not receiving blame for their behavior as well. So don't stop, number one, don't stop living for the Lord. What is it that happens when people don't get what they want? Oftentimes they say, well, that's the way God treats me, and I'm through with this. I'm going back into the world. They didn't do that. They didn't go to the grocery store and pick up a six-pack of beer. They didn't get back with their old buddies, and they didn't go back to their old ways. No, they didn't do that. Don't stop living for the Lord if God does not give. Hey, listen, sometimes I'm thankful that God has not given me what I asked for. I don't know about you, but there are sometimes I've asked amiss. The Bible says we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. There are sometimes we ask for things that are something that we want. Oh, my soul, we're at Christmas season, aren't we? And we were coming back with the children, coming back with Tim and Kayla and the little ones from Thanksgiving with Hope's parents. And Ethan's not feeling very well. He's been running a fever, and they were both kind of peaked, you know. You know what that word means, right? They just weren't feeling good at all. And we stopped to get a bite to eat, and they weren't interested in food. Nope, they weren't interested in food at all. And they had to go back to the van, and we ate in shifts and that kind of thing and hurried and ate our food. And I got done first and went out, and Kayla came back in, and she ate and that kind of thing. And so Tim and I were in the van, and so I dropped them off to get something. And so I'm driving the van around, and the kids are in the back seat, and we brought the food out to them, you know, and they weren't interested in anything. I don't feel good. It's all. And there's a shopping center, and there's this store called Five Below. Anybody know Five Below? Okay, I guess it's a $5 store. Dollar Tree times five. And they had some toys and things outside that store. And I'm driving along, and I said, well, looky there. They got toys. Y'all want to go in? Yes, yes, yes. All of a sudden, better than medication, better than medicine. Boy, they just brightened up, and they were just good as gold. And it's amazing because we want things, don't we? We want things we don't have. Commercials come on, and Black Friday. Now we got Cyber Monday. What are they going to do with Tuesday? I don't know, but they have commercials. And you'll be happy if you buy this. If you play with that, your kids, you know. We want things. Sometimes we ask God for things that we should not have. Sometimes we ask Him about things that we need and that are valid and that are right. And yet God does not answer that request. So what do you do? Don't stop living for the Lord. Number two, let's look at verse 8. The Bible says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Here's a second thought. If God hasn't answered your prayer, don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop serving the Lord. Well, I sing in the choir. I teach Sunday school. I help in junior church. I watch the nursery. I help usher. I do all these kind of things. And boy, I've been praying for years for God to answer this prayer, but it doesn't work. I'm just going to quit. No, no, no. Here's a guy, and he's been praying and asking God for something simple. Lord, we want a child. We want a child. That's nothing for you. It's impossible for us unless you do it. But Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. And as he continued month after month, year after year, still serving God, living for the Lord personally, serving God corporately, trusting him. God has his, what? Reasons. God has his reasons. Don't quit serving the Lord. There are a lot of reasons to quit serving the Lord. I mean, Satan will give you a whole boatload of answers as to why to quit serving the Lord. He doesn't want anybody serving Christ. He doesn't want anyone bringing glory to him. But you know, Satan is a liar. And I'm so thankful that God always tells the truth. I'm so thankful that God always loves us with an unending love. So if God doesn't answer your prayer, don't quit. Don't stop living for the Lord, and don't stop serving the Lord. And number three, don't stop praying to the Lord. By all means. You say, well, wait a minute, he hasn't answered my prayer. Just keep on knocking. Seek ye, we just sang it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things be added unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Look at verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was what he was doing. And verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. As you're praying, undoubtedly people knew that they didn't have children. Everybody knew that. You know how people are sometimes very harmful, very, very critical of others. Must be something wrong with that Elizabeth and Zacharias. You know, you'd think that they could have kids. God must be judging them for some reason. You'll find later on in the passage in chapter 1, you'll find that Elizabeth commented that God has removed her reproach amongst the people. They thought that there was something that God was judging them about, you know. And with all this going on, he just continued on serving the Lord and continued praying to the Lord. And as he's bringing that incense and burning that incense, he did not think for one moment, here I am offering a symbol of prayer and God has not answered my prayer. What a hypocrite I am. No, he just continued praying. He continued praying. You know how I know that? Because the next verse talks about Gabriel saying, your prayer has been heard. He just kept praying. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. You know that song? The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. God has his reasons if he does not answer that prayer. God is able. He's able. So if God hasn't answered your prayer, don't stop living for the Lord. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop praying to the Lord. Continue on. Don't quit. And then this is just as important, if not more important. What to do when God answers your prayer. What to do when God answers your prayer. We see this in the text as well. Look, please, in verse 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Perhaps someone can shed some light on this for me. I've meditated on this and talked to the Lord about it. And the Bible says that the angel, Gabriel, stood on the right side of the altar of incense. There's nothing in the Bible by happenstance. There's nothing extra in the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay? So if it says that he's on, the angel appeared unto him, that would have been enough. It would have been enough if it had said on the side of the altar of incense. That would have been enough. But it says that, and he obviously, it appears that as he was in there, he was the only one there. And it was on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, if you are an investigator and if you are finding out what happened at an accident scene or some tragedy or something, and someone is describing to you with great detail what took place, and they're just recounting, it was here, and he's wearing a blue shirt, and he did this, and he said that, and he reached down, he picked up this, and you know, and they're giving details. You would tend to think that with that much detail, that person is probably giving those observances that he saw of an account that actually happened. That comes to mind. That comes to mind. That this actually took place. Now, I've never seen an angel. Never had an angel talk to me. Okay? That has never happened. I've never heard, never saw, you know, angelic wings I do find in the Word of God that every time an angel appeared, every time in the Bible, the first words out of their mouth was, "Fear not." So it must be quite a sight when an angel appears. And that's what he said. He said he was troubled, the Bible says, verse 12. But here's a thought about this, on the right side. You'll find in the Word of God, when describing our God, and describing his strength and his power to protect and preserve and to meet our needs. Talks about his arm sometimes, and the way that we can understand, God is a spirit, but in his ability, describes to us in a way that we can understand that his arm is not weak. Talks about his right hand. He will uphold me, the right hand of his righteousness. And the right hand in the Word of God is always pictured as the strong arm, the strong hand. And so as he's standing there on the right side of the altar of incense, on the right side of their prayers, showing the power and the might of God to answer prayer. Boy, that's great right there. I could park a while on that one. God is able. He's able, he's able, I know he is able. You know the song he sang in Sunday school? So when God answers your prayer, number one, jot down this, don't fear God's answer. Don't fear God's answer. He says, fear not. Fear not. Angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Sometimes you pray, Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to get a hold of my child's heart. God, I want you to save my husband. I want you to save my wife. God, I want you to do this. I want you to provide. I want you to miraculously give us a job, whatever the case may be. And you ask God, please, Lord, would you please do something mighty in our life? God's going to bring that answer because of who he is, because he is infinite, because he is creative. He's going to bring that answer usually in a way we'd have never thought of. And when it comes to us in a way that we never saw coming, don't fear God's answer. He's going to do his will. He's going to do it in a way that brings glory to his name. Now, I know that probably he was just praying, Lord, help her to be with child. Give us a child. He never dreamed it was going to be announced by an angel. We're thrilled sometimes when the doctor says, okay, kids, guess what? You're pregnant. But what a marvelous thing to have the message of God saying, fear not, I've got everything under control. Don't fear God's answer. Now, along this thought, I'm going to give you something to be a help, I believe. I have found that God answers prayer in one of three ways. God answers prayer either, yes, I will do that, or no. Or what's the third one?
Wait.
That's right. Wait. And in their case, it was wait. And it was wait a long time. And it was wait to the point that you think it's not going to take place. It's not going to happen. How many of y'all ever been that? Been there? You don't have to raise your hands. It seemed like that God was not going to answer that prayer and the door was closed. That's the way he felt. Don't fear God's answer. And then it's interesting how verses 14 through 17 that we did not read. Look at that with me, please. Verse 14, the Bible says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Well, that's pretty obvious if you have a little one. And many shall rejoice at his birth. Well, okay, yeah, okay, that's great. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, wow, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, wow. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. I want you to hold your place there. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Do you have it? Ephesians 3, verse 17. This is the way that God answers. And so don't fear God's answer. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Read aloud verse 20 with me, please. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Read verse 21 with me aloud. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Here's what God does. Whenever God sees someone who is serving him, someone who is living for him, someone who's praying to him, he finds a couple, he finds a person, he finds a believer who he can bring glory to his name through an impossible situation. So he will let them go down the road to the point that they think and everyone else is convinced that there is no hope. So that whenever he steps in and doesn't just give them a child, I mean, he announces it with an angel. He tells him that this is going to be an evangelist like the Israel has never seen. This, of course, if you don't know, this was announcing the coming of John the Baptist. And Jesus said, of them born of women, there is not a greater man than John the Baptist. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Here's a couple, they just wanted a child. A boy, a girl. It doesn't matter, Lord. We just like to have a child from you. We're living for you. We're serving you. We're praying to you faithfully. We're asking you, God, just for a child. He says, I heard your prayer. I'm going to give you more than a child. I'm going to give you a hero in Israel. I'm going to reward your faithfulness. That's the kind of God that we serve. So that all the glory goes to Almighty God. So when God answers your prayer, don't fear God's answer, number one. Number two, this is important. Don't doubt God's ability. Don't doubt God's ability. Look at verse 19, please. back in our text. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. We need verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Do you get the picture here? He's saying, how do I know this is really going to happen? Well, first off, buddy, you're looking at an angel. Okay? And he's telling you that you're going to have a child. And he looks the angel dead on the face, and he says, how do I know you're telling me the truth? I mean, after all, it's impossible what you're talking about. The odds are completely gone. How do I know this is going to happen? A little bit of an insult, wouldn't you think? He doubted. He did not believe God's word. Hey, listen, please. Don't fear God's answer. And then when God does answer, then don't doubt it. Don't doubt God's ability. Let's read on verse 19. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto. Said, I'm telling the truth is what God told me. Listen, please. When God tells us something in his word, you better trust it. You better believe it. You better hang on to it. Because it's those promises that Brother Phil and Kristen were singing about a few moments ago. And God keeps his word. And we read on in verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So don't doubt God's ability. And then, just for the sake of wrapping this up, I'm going to give you this last phrase to jot down. Do you have them? Don't fear God's answer. Don't doubt God's ability. And number three, don't touch God's authority. Don't touch God's authority. Skip over, please, in chapter 1. Look at verse 57. 57. The Bible says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son, just like God said. Remember the days that you didn't know whether you're going to have a boy or a girl until they arrived? Yeah. Remember that? You know? And now, have you seen this 3D imaging? Yeah. I mean, you know, just weeks old and 3D imaging. It's amazing. And boy, I tell you, that should be shown to every young mama who's considering murdering that baby. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Okay, that's kind of common. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And that's common. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he should be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Us or her? Which you know, our name Zacharias, her name John. Which is it? Okay. Verse 63. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. He spake and praised God. You know, there's a lot of rejoicing that goes along. There's a lot of slapping on the backs, pray, you know. Hey, boy, y'all made a good baby. No. When he opened his mouth, all the praise went to God. He learned something in those 9 months. He learned something, or 10 months, or however long it was. He learned something in that time period. He learned not to doubt, and he learned not to touch God's authority. He learned not to touch God's glory. God doesn't share his glory with anyone, folks. So, you don't fear. Don't fear his answers. And don't doubt his ability. And don't touch his authority. All the praise went to God. And that little one grew up, and he became very unique and very special. And exactly like God had said would take place, he became a forerunner of the Messiah, a forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My friend, God may want to do something special in your life. I wonder if he can't. Because whenever we started asking, and he didn't just do it immediately. Folks, we're the fast food service citizens. You know that? The fast food service citizens of the United States of America. We don't like it when they have us pull our car up into the reserved lane for someone to bring our food out to us. I mean, we have sat in the comfort of our car. We have placed our order. We drive up. We pay for our, and we expect that food to be hot, accurate, and good, and delicious, and wonderful, and all that kind of thing. Immediately, boom, you know, just. And boy, I tell you what, if they make us pull up there, we know it's going to be another 3 or 4 minutes. Boy, this is terrible. If we're not careful, we will treat God in much the same way. We will ask God for something, and if he doesn't hop to, and if he doesn't do something immediately for us, or at least within a week or so, or a month or so, these folks waited most of their lives asking God to do something, and they kept on living for God. They kept on serving God. They kept on praying to God. And then, whenever God did answer their prayer, he even kind of messed that up a little bit. He doubted after so long, you know, he doubted, did not believe God. But when it counted, you know what? Boy, he did it right. He gave the praise to God. Thank you, God, for answering prayer. And he praised God's holy name. Now listen, folks, I'm telling you today, in this Christmas season, God gave to us an unspeakable gift, the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the holy Lamb of God. And when it was time, a long-awaited Savior came. So God will meet your need. God will answer your prayers. Don't quit living for God. Don't quit serving God. You know, there could be some people today that you're praying for salvation. There could be someone on your heart. Don't quit praying. Continue lifting them up in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. It might be a son. It might be a daughter. It might be a grandchild. It might be a particular need in your home, in your family. There are some people here in our midst. I'm praying for the Grants family. We've got some of the Grants family right here. And they just received some news. John received some news that was startling. And may I tell you today that God is still on his throne. And God will give grace. And God will bring glory to his name. And Brother John, you might be watching by way of live stream. We're praying for you. And don't quit praying for one another. Continue lifting up. He went in day after day, as his course was, to that altar of incense. And he would light that incense, and the aroma would fill the temple, and it would escape out the doors, and it would go up into the heavens, symbolizing the prayer that immediately goes to the throne room of God. Symbolizing that. God's no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for the guy at the end of the alphabet named Zacharias, he'll do it for you and me too. He was no one special, no one special, but God looked at them. He said, they love me and I love them. One thing that you know for sure, that no matter what happens, according to Ephesians chapter 3 that we just read a few moments ago, you have no idea how much God loves you, how wide his love is. How deep his love is. How high his love is. You can't get by his love. My friend, that same love is saying, come to Jesus. If you're not saved, oh, that is one choice that you have. You see, if you reject God's Son, you reject the greatest gift you could ever receive. If you reject that, then you have no hope. If you've embraced the gift of salvation, if you've embraced the forgiveness paid for Jesus by Jesus Christ upon the cross, if you embraced that and received his salvation, then my friend, you have the Heavenly Father looking out after everything. And I understand that Hollywood and all the market media people and all that kind of thing, they're going to make us feel like that we're a second-class citizen if we don't have this hoverboard, or if we don't have this, or if we don't have that new car, or if we don't have this or the other. I understand that. But have you ever been in the hospital when things went crazy? And you didn't have the answers, and the doctor didn't have the answers. I'm looking at a young man. That's fine. That's fine. I'm looking at a young man. His name is Tim Sears. And when he was coming into this world, all of a sudden they came and got hope, and they pushed me into a corner of that hospital room. And they took my wife and rolled her out. I didn't know what had happened. It all happened within like 25 seconds. And they took her out of the room. And the doctor was walking down the hall to meet them. He looked in the room there. He saw me standing there as my first child. I'd never been to this rodeo ever before in my life. And he looked at me, saw this stunned look on my face. He says, "Dad, follow us." And I'm standing outside of the OR. I'm looking inside through a window. I'm standing there and looking at them furiously and quickly working. I didn't know what was going to take place. I said, "Dear God, please. I don't know what's happening, but God, you're the creator. You're the maker of heaven and earth. You're the one who's gifted us with this little one. We've got two up in heaven. We're asking you, God, please, Lord, would you please give us this one?" God answered that prayer. And God has answered so many prayers after prayer after prayer of my life. Not because I deserve it, because I don't. But because God is a God of grace, and God's a God of love, and he's the same God that you serve. Zachariah is found him faithful, and you will too. God did it. He did it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, God, that you would minister to hurting hearts here today. Lord, I pray that you'd bring joy. I pray, God, that you would bring daybreak from darkness. I pray, God, that you'd bring light out of misery. And I ask you, God, that there would be some folks that have been tempted to just quit on God. Lord, that they would say, "I'm going to re-up with you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Whatever you do, God, you are good and you have your reasons. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to love you." I pray, God, that Zacharias' testimony will be an encouragement to all of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If today you do not know Jesus personally, you might be a member of a church, you might have been baptized, you might be actively serving in somewhere, but if you don't know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, my friend, you are gambling with eternity. And you have the possibility of never seeing your saved loved ones ever again. You're one heartbeat away, one car accident away. I ask you today, why not receive the gift of salvation today? Right here, right now. Why not humble your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner"? Just pray this to God. Would you whisper it to him right here and now? "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I'm trusting Jesus to take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead. Thank you for saving my soul. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven."